Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball. Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black Knights go head-to-head with the Navy Midshipmen, an American classic that dates all the way back to 1890. The Armchair Quarterbacks Radio Network will be there bringing you the action. Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on youtube.com/@Braves Country.
You're in Braves Country.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Hope you are having a great day. Welcome into Braves Country Radio as we are doing the Hot Stove Edition, as we do on Thursday and Mondays. I got my days all mixed up in my head. Thursdays and Mondays we do this live. You get the replay on WQEE the following day. You also get it on our outlets for our podcasts. The main one that I always reference is our Spotify. I know that we're on a couple of others. I believe we're still on Apple and a couple others, but the one that I always go to is Spotify, so that's the one you'll always hear me reference. But anyways, good afternoon, and we put together a video that I think we're going to start running prior to the games in 2024, and we're going to run it here in a minute and just kind of get everyone's reaction. It's very similar to the intro that we had before, but this will actually be a video going in, so hopefully y'all will like that. We've got a lot to get into and a little time to do it. So if we don't get a chance to get into all that, we might do it at the very end of the show. And I think it was put together pretty well, but, you know, always want to know everyone's opinions. As we say this all the time, Braves Country here on YouTube, it is your station as much as anyone else's, as we try to bring you the best Braves content there is. Now, a lot of rumors are flying around because we get the winter meetings that start in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday. And we are planning on covering the winter meetings in the near future. Didn't get a chance to get up there this year, but we're looking forward to them in the very near future. More on that as we get things locked up. But anyways, the winter meetings begin on Sunday, and folks start arriving on Sunday. They technically begin on Monday, and then we will have shows on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I believe we're going to do it Thursday as well, as we are going to be diving in to the winter meetings, not just with what the Braves do, but what everybody else does. Now, with that being said, there have been some signings that have gone on. And they're minor signings, but we haven't really touched on them. And I do believe that we need to go ahead and hit that. Then we're going to get into some of the rumors, because I'm telling you right now, I keep seeing outlet after outlet after outlet, whether it's the writers, whether it's, you know, just the different content folks. And I think they keep trying to sell you a bill of goods that the Braves are done, that they're not going to do anything else. And that's utter nonsense. It is utter nonsense. I watch a lot of these Braves shows and listen to a lot of the different podcasts and whatnot, just because I like to get a different perspective, because I don't believe that I've ever been right about everything. So I like to get other folks' perspective. But I'll die on this hill all off season long. There is no way in hell the Braves moved all those players off the roster, cleared up at the time 10 folks off of the 40-man roster. Now, obviously, we're starting to trickle some back in, but at the time, 10. to do absolutely nothing. There's just there's no way, because you would hold on to some of these guys and see how they panned out when you look at how little you would have to pay some of them. So the Braves are in the, and not to mention the fact we are getting rumor after rumor after rumor coming in about guys that could be headed this way. And I've got a soundbite that I think you're going to enjoy that, well, it's a current Braves player that he's trying to court Shohei Ohtani. And we'll get into that here in a second. We got the audio for that. So, real quick, I did want to hit on some of the players that have signed in the last week. We touched on a very little bit about the fact that Kenta Maeda signed with the Tigers, leaving Minnesota to go to the Tigers. Now, that's significant in that division. Not a whole lot of significance in the NL East, but it's still a significant piece, because anytime a guy gets signed, it just means that other guys are out there, and that's also a spot that it's taken on another roster. Money that they may have earmarked for someone else, and now that guy is gone. But when you look at the whole grand scheme of this, and you look at some of the moves that have been made here recently, and there's been some, you know, some under the radar ones. You know, obviously the Sonny Gray one with St. Louis is more significant than most. And I see some guys that have been trying to guys and gals that have been trying to downplay that signing. That was a great signing by St. Louis. And if you don't know, then you don't know. Because if you don't realize how good Sonny Gray has been over his career, and had an outstanding season last year, comes in at $25 million per season over the next three seasons for St. Louis, you're kind of missing the boat there. The boat is being missed by you, because the simple fact of the matter is the man had an ERA, sub-3 ERA. I get that he only had like 8 wins, but that's got nothing to do with his pitching ability. The guy's not, he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's not out there batting. It's got nothing to do with his hitting ability. He had an ERA sub-3. And so for Sonny Gray signing, for a lot of folks, I mean, it's just getting, it's almost like it's, I might be overstating it a little bit, but I feel like it's getting scoffed at in a lot of circles. Not just Brave circles, but I'm talking about across the board. They act as though Sonny Gray's signing isn't significant. Like Sonny Gray doesn't move the needle at all. And if that were the case, the man wouldn't have commanded $25 million for the next 3 years. Another thing you have to look at too, $25 million is not top tier level money. Now, he had a 5.3 war last year. For folks who are not familiar with it, that is a very good number. That's elite. 5.3 war for a starting pitcher is elite. And if you want to compare it, let's just go ahead and grab the NL Cy Young winner, Blake Snell. His war was 6.0. So not that far off. When you look at like Gerrit Cole, he had a 7.4. He was extremely dominant though, and he is a strikeout pitcher. Sonny Gray is more of a guy that keeps the ball down. He does have a decent strikeout. It's right at 1 per inning. So his strikeout per 9 is just below 9 this past season. And in his career, that's about where he sits. He's got, 1,570 innings pitched. He struck out 1,521 guys over his career. So he's right there. So he's a solid pitcher, and St. Louis got themselves a good one. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you, that was a good signing. And it was a guy that I would have loved for the Braves to have gotten. It's not the end of the world that they're not, that they didn't receive him, that they didn't get him signed. But I will say this, the fact that the Braves were in the conversation, because we heard it all the last few weeks, how they were bidding on him, they fell short, whatever number they had for Gray. And I would be willing to bet that Gray was probably offered, if you know the Braves and you know their numbers, probably just below that 75. So if they offered him a 3-year deal, it was probably closer, considering their track record, probably around 66, maybe a little higher, maybe a tad lower. maybe just a tad lower. But all in all, you got to realize that this is a team that is going to be in the mix now, the Cardinals, with the NL Central because of that signing. It doesn't make them elite by any stretch of the imagination, but the Braves added a guy like Sonny Gray. It would fortify the rotation. You're trying to tell me you wouldn't want Max Fried, Spencer Strider, Sonny Gray, and Charlie Morton rolling out there with obviously Bryce Elder grabbing the fifth spot, and then you would have all the other pieces at your disposal without having to trade away an A.J. Smith-Shawver, without having to trade away a Hurston Waldrop. Those are the common names we keep hearing on the rumor mill for Braves. So I'm not buying that the Braves were not in on him. They just they're very stubborn on the number. Now, that doesn't mean they won't go over the 22-23 threshold for anybody. And realize that was the number they had for last year. So it will incrementally go up. They've also been rumored that they go out and offer according to the player. So when you look at Aaron Nola, and the Braves were in on Aaron Nola, and his contract was one that was $172 million, 7 years. So that breaks down, if you look at that logically, that breaks down to just over what the Braves typically would spend, right? So you're talking about just under, $27-28 a year? And I'd be willing to bet the Braves with Nola, from the rumors we heard, they were offering around the 25-26 range, which is what Gray got, but they were willing to go about 5 years if you want to believe the rumors, but they weren't going to go the 7 years. And honestly, I'm fine with it. Aaron Nola is a good pitcher, but Aaron Nola, that is not going to be a contract that ages well. And you're gonna get good value from the guys that you do have on the staff right now. You're going to have very good value from, look, I know a lot of people hate the fact that Charlie Morton was signed for $20 million, but if you look at it comparatively, it's actually a bit of a deal. Now, this is the last year that Morton is under this type of deal. I honestly thought that there might have been a chance in play for the Braves to restructure it and bring him back on a little less. But look, he has earned it. The one thing you say about Charlie Morton, I know he got hurt down the stretch last year, but typically Charlie Morton goes to the post. Charlie Morton goes out there and gives you 25 to 30 starts a year. And that's not nothing. So I get that a lot of folks would have liked to move that money over to someone else. But I don't think that was ever the option. The option was going to be they either brought back Charlie Morton or they were going to elevate Bryce Elder in the rotation and then you go from there. Now, with all that being said, there are rumors about trades. It's been heating up with Dylan Cease. It's been heating up with guys like Glasnow from Tampa Bay. And then there's also the free agent look. I want y'all to hear this. If you've already heard it, fair enough. It's a very short clip. But this is Pierce Johnson trying to recruit Shohei Ohtani.
Well, Johnny, man, if you want to come to Atlanta and be a part of a successful team and organization and be, you know, have a chance to win every single year and have fun while doing it, Atlanta is the place for you. I'll keep working on my Japanese so I can talk to you and crack jokes, and we can go get all the sushi you want.
Could you imagine what that would look like if the Atlanta Braves added offensively Shohei Ohtani with Acuna and all those guys?
Come on. Slaughterhouse.
I mean, 1-9 was a threat to go deep. You add him in the lineup, I mean, that would be absolutely incredible. Talk about historic year last year. I want to see how many home runs we hit this year.
So that was Pierce Johnson on Shohei Ohtani, and very interesting take on that, because honestly, for Pierce, and look, I know a lot of it was tongue in cheek, but Pierce Johnson going out there and trying to recruit Otani, here's the thing. You're hearing more and more about how one of the things that has attracted Shohei Otani to the Atlanta Braves is, number one, he got a taste of winning in the World Baseball Classic. He, on a big stage, he got to see what it was like to win on a big stage here in the States and saw the excitement. He has spent his entire career with the Los Angeles Angels, and they've been subpar. If you think about the Angels over the last several years, you would never say they're a terrible team. What you would say is they are mediocre at best at times. But typically, they finish the season somewhere around just below 500. They spent all their money on Mike Trout and, of course, Rendon. In fact, there was a pretty good article, I think it was out yesterday, talking about some of the biggest busts in MLB history on contracts. And, you know, people focus on the Rendon, but remember before that it was Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols got hot the back half of his last season. But Albert Pujols, you can't say that that contract was worth a damn. It was terrible. He was much better in St. Louis and at the very beginning of his contract with the Angels. And Anthony Rendon has just been a waste of money. And they've got that going on. They've got the Trout money that they're still missing. So, or still will continue to pay. I shouldn't say missing. He's a hell of a player when he's healthy. The problem is he's rarely healthy. Mike Trout, if he goes out and plays 150 games this year, will probably win the AL MVP. Problem is, you know, Mike Trout's probably going to end up playing, if you're lucky, about 110, maybe 120 games. And that's if everything goes right. He's typically on the IL very quickly. Let me see. For folks who are listening elsewhere, we do have the chats up on YouTube and on Facebook. And let me see. See what is Miguel says. I hate that AA wastes the money on more. Yeah, I mean, I get that argument of it. And when you look at it that way, as far as, I don't know if that would have meant that they would have signed signed Gray. But the one thing I will say about that is this: if they would have, let's say, if we didn't bring Morton back, but we brought in Sonny Gray, you'd have Gray for the next 3 years. We only have Morton for the next year. Now, that's kind of a part of their plan, because when you look at guys like Shaver and you look at guys like Waldrop, who could be ready to roll by, I think Waldrop's still a year away, but he could still be a guy that you could get some decent innings out of this year, later part of the year. Remember something about Hurston Waldrop. Everybody's enamored because when you see the video of Waldrop, what you see is that ball exploding out of his hand. You see him with just an easy release, strikeout ability through the roof. But remember something about Waldrop. A, he's a young kid, so he's still developing. B, the biggest thing is he has been awful, not just in a Braves uniform on the minor league level, but back in college. He has averaged about 5 walks per 9. And that's not going to get it done on the major league level. You're putting all those ducks on the pond, they're going to make you pay. Doesn't matter if you can throw up around triple digits. They will take you deep every time. Every time you walk a guy, you better believe that guy's going to come in to score. So I'm not convinced that Waldrop is going to be a guy that's going to be able to help the Braves out in 2024. Maybe by the end, maybe they're able to work with him and get him under control. Maybe. Huge maybe. 2025 is probably a little more realistic. As far as Shaver, I love Shaver. I love everything about it. I love the way the ball comes out. I thought he pitched well. But remember something, he's young. What was he, 20 last year? So he'll be 21 this year. And you got to look at his development. How many innings can you put on him? So we don't really have a number 5 pitcher right now. despite some of the outlets that will tell you the Braves, I saw saw and listened to a couple of shows over the last few days where they're talking. They were suggesting the Braves were done. The Braves aren't done. There's no way in hell they're done. They're not even close to being done. They're going to sign at least one big fish to put in that rotation. Now, it may not be the Shohei Ohtani like we would like to see. I'm still not counting it out. There was a time where I laughed at that idea. But that is a guy that you would bring in and break the bank and ignore your 22 last year. This year it could be a little higher, but you're 22 per year. Because you have to look at it big picture. If you sign Ohtani, you're not looking at, is he worth 22 a year? He would be filling in two positions. So we're really talking about 44 to 45 a year. And because he's so good, there's no reason why he's not worth 50 once he starts pitching again. The problem is the first year you're going to pay through the nose. You are absolutely going to pay through the nose. You are only going to get him as a designated hitter, and you're still going to pay for his services across the board. Now, he could structure his contract. Let's say the number is 50 a year. The reason why I always scoffed at his ability or our ability to sign him is that I always thought that sounded low. Now, because of the injury, he may be willing to take somewhere around 50 a year to be a top-line starter and one of your better bats. But let's say that's the case. Let's say it plays out that way. I could see a situation where his contract is set up where in year one, he doesn't make the full 50. He could end up just making the 25 against your cap or threshold, as they like to call it in baseball. At that point, you're able to squeeze him under. Remember, some of these other big contracts too, and I'm looking at the ones like Bryce Harper and Turner and Trout and a couple other guys. On the really big contracts, Judge was another one. They have been willing to push some of the money that is owed to them out past the contract. So in other words, let's say you sign a 10-year deal, you might be paying that contract for 13 to 15 years because you're spreading it out. And if you're wanting to be a big-time player in this, I don't see how you don't take that route. I don't see how you don't go in and say, hey, why the hell not, you know, Ohtani getting, let's say he gets somewhere between 25 and 30 this year from whoever signs him. And then the rest of the years, he gets somewhere around, we'll say 30 to 40. And then for several extra years after the contract, you're having to pay an extra amount. You're going to make that on jersey sales. You're going to make that on getting butts in the seats. And remember something too, you get Shohei Ohtani or you get Yamamoto. You have then expanded your fan base to the country of Japan. Right now, how many born in Japan Atlanta Braves fans do you think there are out there? Probably not a whole hell of a lot. But you sign one of their own, you're going to expand, and then that turns into, remember, in a couple of years, assuming that the current contract stays, in a couple of years, the Braves television contract is going to come up for renewal, and you are talking about really being able to go to the window and say, hey, you want to broadcast the Atlanta Braves? You want to be the Braves broadcast station for the next 10, 15, 20 years? You're gonna help us pay this Ohtani freight. So a lot of those things are in play, and I don't think it's necessarily out of the realm of possibility that the Braves could go in. I just have doubted it for the longest time. I've just basically accepted the fact he's going to be a Los Angeles Dodger. It's what it seems like, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. Here's the other thing. if you do sign Ohtani. That hasn't fixed a damn thing in the pitching rotation for 2024. And that's the problem. So let's say you sign Ohtani and everybody's happy and hunky-dory. All right, fair enough. But at some point, you still have to go address the fact you don't really have a number five pitcher, not one that you can necessarily lean on. And with the loss of Kyle Wright, which he was going to be lost anyways, because he's not pitching in 2024 because of his shoulder surgery. And there is a possibility of Nick Anderson or Waskari Noah coming back to the rotation at some point, but not at the beginning of 2024. And I was looking at the Braves schedule early on, and you're not going to be able to navigate with just four pitchers out the gate. You're just not. After about the first week or so, you're going to have a five-man rotation. So what does that mean? And then the biggest question would be, are we willing to trade A.J. Smith-Shawver? Are we willing to trade Hurston Waldrop to go in and bring in a guy, Dylan Cease? I saw a question here. Was it Chris? I wonder if wonder about the Cease rumors. I wonder if AA goes after Robert as well in a package with Cease. Here's the problem with Dylan Cease that I think a lot of people either they don't know or they haven't, or they maybe you forgot, whatever. In January of 2022, so less than a year ago, Dylan Cease signed with Scott Boras. And I just have my doubts that the Braves, not that they wouldn't bring in Dylan Cease, but that they would give up a king's ransom for Dylan Cease, because Scott Boras is going to take his client every single time to free agency, which means it is literally a two-year rental. It's not going to be like a Matt Olson type deal, unless Dylan Cease says, Scott, shut the hell up. Get me the most money I can get on this contract coming up, but I want to be a Brave. That's a different conversation. That's a totally different conversation. But Scott Boras is probably going to take his client. He always does. He always advises them to go to free agency to get multiple teams begging for their service. So I'm not willing to give up A.J. Smith-Shawver for a two-year rental of Dylan Cease. Possibly you could convince me of that with Waldrop because he's still so far away from contributing to the team. It would hurt. It would be terrible because we'll probably see Waldrop on the main stage in the next 2 to 3 years and go, man, what could have been? But if you could have Dylan Cease, assuming health, if you could have a healthy Dylan Cease for the next two seasons, and it would soften the blow of when we most likely will lose Max Fried. And the other thing that would come up with that, if you did bring in Dylan Cease, and let's say you're not able to extend him, could you then pivot that money? Because remember, 20 is going to come off the books at the end of this season for room to get Max Fried an extension. A 31-year-old who's had some arm troubles, how long of an extension are the Braves willing to give? All that you have to dissect, but right now I'm seeing there's too much smoke for there not to be some fire in the fact that they are involved in all of these trade rumors, including Dylan Cease. And they did not clear 10 guys off the 40-man roster to go into the spring with this as their line, as their roster. They won't have them all full, because it'd be foolish to have your entire 40-man roster full, especially when you're at this point in the offseason and you have the ability to go into spring training and kind of see how guys perform, and then you fill out your 40-man roster from there. Because remember something, once you put a guy on a 40-man roster, If you decide that you want to add someone else and you got to take him off, then you got to put him through waivers. And that's always going to be a problem. So I do believe they're going to want some kind of flexibility, but they're going to bring in a pitcher, whether it's trade or whether it's, and that's why I've been saying for a while now that I like the idea that they may be able to get Tyler Glasnow. We'll be back in a flash. We're going to talk about the possibility of Glasnow and a couple other things along with a bopper that is being rumored to your Atlanta Braves. We'll be back in a flash.
Are you looking for a reliable dental practice that not only cares about your teeth, but is friendly to work with? How about one that offers great deals and new patient promotions? Well, your search is over. Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton, Georgia is committed to giving you the biggest and brightest smile. Right now, get a $99 new patient special, including x-rays and exam. Maybe you're looking for veneers. Most Valuable Smiles veneer special includes one free veneer with every five purchased. Or get that bright white smile you've always wanted by taking advantage of an exclusive $100 off Zoom whitening treatment when you book today. And don't forget that 2022 is almost over. That means most insurance policies will reset by the new year, and to avoid losing that extra money, you need to use it or lose it. Book an appointment today with Most Valuable Smiles in downtown Eatonton to lock in these exclusive deals. Call 706-623-0318 or visit mostvaluablesmiles.com.
Here's good news. There's still a need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
Braves Country Today. We're talking Southern sports. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE. Braves Country Today, Southern sports talk with the voice of Braves Country Baseball, Mac McGee. Joined every day from sports analysts from all over Braves Country, talking college football, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and what's trending in the world of sports. Braves Country Today. We go live 3 to 5 weekdays right here on WQEE.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
Hey, Braves Country, this is Mac McGee with Braves Country Radio. We are bringing you pitch by pitch, play by play of your Atlanta Braves all year long. Please like and subscribe today. It's free, and it helps us bring you more of the game we all love. Braves Country Radio, your home for the classic call of Braves Country Baseball.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's The Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, it's the Army-Navy game. Army Black Knights go head-to-head with the Navy Midship, an American classic that dates all the way back to 1890. The Armchair Quarterbacks Radio Network will be there bringing you the action. Army-Navy, Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here on youtube.com/@Braves Country. All right, we are back here, Braves Country Radio, and we were talking about Tyler Glasnow, who has been rumored to be traded in the very near future, who's got the best stuff out there on the market. but he's a one-year rental, and what do they want for him? Tyler Glasnow is phenomenal, but he is going to be a free agent at the end of this year. Tyler Glasnow, not much of a chance he begins the season with the Tampa Bay Rays because they are already $30 to $40 million over what they typically spend right now, and he is set to make $25 million this season. So with one move, they can get him out. And there's I saw another report that was suggesting there's a possibility. Tell me this wouldn't be a blockbuster. And you get this done, I'm okay with trading Waldrop and maybe even Vaughn Grissom. But what if you sent Waldrop, Vaughn Grissom, and then a couple of the other pieces would be up for debate? We won't stay here all day long debating that. But let's say you move those two guys to the Tampa Bay Rays for Tyler Glasnow and Randy Arozarena. That fixes your outfield problem instantly. That fixes your rotation instantly. And I am all for any move that you can make a blockbuster deal that brings in and fixes the entire team like that. I'm let's go. Where do we sign? Now, this could just be the problem with some of these rumors that come out at this time of year. You never know if they're legitimate rumors or if someone's just sitting there, you know, doodling on an Etch-a-Sketch because, you know, it'd be cool. So, you know, but when I saw that mentioned, because I saw it was a separate article talking about Arozarena coming to the Braves. And it was a separate article talking about Arozarena going to Glasnow going to the Braves. And then you put two and two together and go, why wouldn't you just go after both of them and push your chips in and say, let's go? The Mets, by the way, if you missed it, signed Luis Severino, 1 year, $13 million deal. I mean, he's had some good years. I can tell you from watching Severino, I watched him pitch four times this year. He doesn't have it anymore. Now, maybe he can turn back the clock. You never know. But that's not a deal that's going to necessarily move the needle. I really feel like that was a deal to try to get some Mets fans to come to the stadium, but the Mets are not going all in. It's one of the reasons why I don't really give the Mets much of a chance of signing Ohtani, but I do expect them to make a very hard push for Yamamoto because they are looking towards the future. Yamamoto, 25 years old, they can sign him to a 5 or 6 year deal. That would fix a lot of problems with the Mets. Maybe not turn them around into a playoff team this year, but could make them additional buyers the following offseason and give them a real chance to do something. Some of the other moves that have been made over, let's hit the Braves first. Very, very minor move, Andrew Velazquez. Not really that big of a deal. Signed a minor league contract. I would be shocked if he makes the major league roster. He's got a career batting average of below 180. I mean, that's not really someone you want to add to a World Series contender. He's a guy you could call up if there's problems, if there's an injury, but he's not a guy that you necessarily want to put on the 40-man roster going forward. Luke Williams, they signed him, brought him back last week. There was so much stuff going on, we didn't get a chance really go over that. Just another depth piece, along with Chadwick Tromp. Now, I was really happy to see the fact that they brought Chadwick Tromp back. Tromp gives you a lot of depth. I'm a little surprised that someone hasn't really made an offer, but we got him back on a minor league deal, so you like that. Grant Holmes was brought in as well. We talked about Ronaldo Lopez last week and what that means. And the other thing that I think got skated over yesterday, I don't even remember seeing anyone talking about this, but I feel like this is a fairly big deal. The Braves re-signed Jackson Stevens to a one-year contract. And it is a major league contract, so he'll go to the 40-man roster. Penn Murphy. Remember the Braves picked up Penn Murphy, and then they released Penn Murphy? And I was like, what the hell are they doing? Well, they signed him back to a one-year deal. So we'll see what happens there. If you're wondering about Penn Murphy, about what he's about and whatnot, Penn Murphy last year only pitched 14 innings. And I do find it interesting. He's from Nashville, Tennessee. So once again, Braves going after that Braves country, the talent all around Braves country. You see him go after guys that are in the Nashville, Alabama. You'll see him going out, obviously, Georgia, Mississippi. All these guys tend to want to play for Atlanta because they grew up Braves fans. Or, hey, you get to a certain point in your career and you're like, you know what, I'd like to go home. But Penn Murphy, if you're wondering about the young man, still a young man, he will be 30 years old this May. He has pitched in his career. Now he's a reliever. He's pitched in his career only in 2022 and 2023 with the Seattle Mariners. He was with the Mets organization when the Braves picked him up, but he did not pitch with the Mets this year. So he had this year 14 innings, a 1.29 ERA, and a 1.07 whip, 16 strikeouts to 14 innings pitched. He's a right-hander. That's pretty darn good, but it's such a small sample size. Okay, what about for his career? This is pretty damn good pickup that I think is going to go under the radar, but I just don't snooze on the fact that it's Penn Murphy. I can't wait to see what he looks like in spring training. But in his career, 83 innings, 92 strikeouts. So he's got a strikeout per nine over nine, and he's got a whip below 1.97. 2.7 ERA, 0.97 whip, and 92 strikeouts in 83 innings. He's from Nashville, went to college in Santa Clara, debuted in 2022. I'm excited to see what he can do. This Braves bullpen is going to be a fun, fun bullpen to watch. I don't think we're going to get what we got last year where, look, I don't want to sit here and bash all the guys that didn't get it done down the stretch. But there were guys, and we all know who they were, that they would come out of the pen, you're like, oh, God, here we go again. This bullpen appears to be one that we are building that has more strikeout stuff. Now, obviously, they're going to have to go out there and compete. They're going to have to make the numbers work, or they're going to have to go out there and they're going to have to excel when they get their opportunity. But every guy they're bringing in has strikeout potential. So you don't see the lower end guys who are throwing low 90s and throwing that frisbee. I call it the frisbee pitch, the sweeper, that if it doesn't hit just right, it gets murdered over the left field wall. So Jackson Stevens, I thought that was a big deal. He looked good down the stretch last year. I was a little surprised that he wasn't put in bigger situations at the end of the season, but Jackson Stevens comes back and Penn Murphy comes back. Ben Bowden, we'll probably talk more about him next time. But the Braves are making these small moves, and the ones I mentioned earlier, like I said, they were not major league moves. You got a couple of others. Joey Wendell signed with the Mets. Not a big deal. He's going to be a depth piece for their infield. Severino to the Mets, we talked about that. Garrett Hampson leaves the Marlins and signs a one-year deal with the Royals. So I love to see that because Garrett Hampson's a pain. Other moves of interest that have happened over the last several days. We talked about Sonny Gray. Paul DeJong went to the White Sox. Not a big deal. He really didn't play that well last year, but that's about it. All right. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. Remember, next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 o'clock, we'll be here every single day. And I think we got one more. Chicago, give up Dylan. I want Albies. I don't know what that means. I don't. Are you talking about putting Ozzie Albies in the outfield? I don't know about that. I think there's a much better chance that the other go Vaughn Grissom goes to the outfield. Ozzie Albies has been phenomenal at second base. It's not easy. If that's what you mean, I would say I would much rather have Vaughn Grissom try his chance in left field. But there's a very high likelihood, is what I'm trying to say, that if the Braves bring in a big piece, Vaughn Grissom's involved. All right, y'all, we're going to go ahead and jump on out of here, and we're going to leave you with what is going to be the intro heading into the 2024 play-by-play season. Hopefully you like it. If not, you know, let us know, and we'll see if we can get it a little better.